Welcome to another podcast from Planet Shakers Church. For details on campus locations and service times, check out planetshakers.com. Today we've got Pastor Russell speaking on a victorious mindset. Let's check it out.
Today I want to speak to you, continue on our series on victory. Anyone? And here's the deal. You know the devil's scared of you living in victory. So guess what he'll try to do? He'll try to intimidate you from living in victory. So that's why you have to have a victorious mindset. And we heard of that last week. Pastor Sam, who I call Pastor Sam all the time at home. Yes, Pastor Sam, whatever you say, Pastor Sam. No, not true. That's not true. Romans chapter 8 says this. What shall we say about these wonderful things as these? If God is my hat covering my eyes, a little bit. Yeah, when you're bald, you just take your head. All your hair, people, you make me sick. I'll never have a Samson problem in my life. Anyway, some of you are getting it. Anyway, whatever. What shall we say about these wonderful things as these? Gee, AFL's back and they've recruited me. Now think about this. We're not talking about if some strong person is for me. We're not talking about if my family are for me. We're not talking about if my friends are for me. If God is for us. See, no one's bigger than God. No one's stronger than God. No one's more powerful than God. No one can defeat God. He is undefeatable. He has won the victory. So if God be for us, who could ever be against us? See, if you understand this, just that one line, if we understood this, it would change the way we live. Because if we know God's for us, we'll take God's steps. Even when hell comes against us, we know that we're fighting from victory, not for victory. And our fight isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And our fight is our believing. That's what we're fighting for, having a victorious mindset. So many people, including myself, at times have allowed our emotions to dominate our thinking. I love Sam, how she says this. God's emotional. God has emotions. Good emotions. Not bad emotions. Devil has bad emotions. God has good emotions. Right? So why? What do you mean? Well, God is love. So any love you feel comes from God. That emotion that you feel of love is from God. So you can feel God. You can experience God. That's why people cry in His presence. Why? Because you can feel Him. That's a good emotion. You're not crying because you're sad. You're crying because He's good. You can laugh in His presence. Nothing wrong with the good joy. You know, I remember a few years ago, people were laughing in church services and people were getting mad, going, and religious people particularly going, well, God, well, you know, this is out of order. People are laughing. You know, it mustn't be God because people are laughing. Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And, you know, I laughed. I don't know if it was in the spirit, but it was funny. Seeing people laugh. You know, so good emotions is good. God gives us emotions. It's those bad emotions, those negative emotions that try to rob and steal us, and we've got to take them under authority. And how our emotions usually happen are attached to our thinking. You ever been hurt by somebody and you're not even thinking about them, and all of a sudden you think about them and that emotion comes back? So you've got to take that thought captive and you go, no, I'm victorious. And I now meditate on the goodness of God, not the badness of that situation. Because if we understand that, life is real. There is pain. There is sorrow. It's called sin. Sin created that. But God, on the other side, created peace, love, joy. And even in a storm, you can have peace. Because God is supernatural. And his supernatural power is connected to his spirit, which is connected to us receiving what he is saying. So let's keep going. It says, since he did not spare even his only son, but God gave him up for us all. Yo, just that blows your mind. God wants everybody to experience his goodness. He wants everybody. There is not one person he doesn't love. You see, I see so many religious people and they get caught up in the sin instead of loving the sinner, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. God doesn't look at our mistakes. He looks at his son and he says, okay, if you come and confess your sin, I will wipe it all away and give you a brand new start. Better keep going. It says then, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? You know, when the world comes, the Bible says we're in this world, we're not of this world. Once you're born again, you're no longer a citizen just of this world. You're a citizen of heaven. You're an ambassador of heaven. And so the spirit of Antichrist does not love the spirit of Christ. And so the world, the spirit of the world does not understand what God does at times. And the Bible says, who dare accuse us whom God has chosen as his own? You are chosen by God. No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. No one who then will condemn us. You see, when you bring up someone's mistake that God has forgiven, who are we that when God doesn't bring it up, what are we? Ooh, Pastor Russell, keep going. Okay. No one of Christ, Jesus died for, no one for Christ died for us, and he was raised to life for us, and he is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Right now in heaven, Jesus is next to his Father, and he's saying, Dad, see those people at Planet Shakers? See that person that's struggling in that issue? See that person who needs that breakthrough? See that situation? Let's do something about it. But here is the thing. The economy of heaven is faith. So it's faith that enacts God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You say, well, how do I get faith? When you become born again, you have faith. You have a seed of faith. And then our job is to develop the environment, our hearts, for the seed to grow, and our thinking for the seed to grow. That's why Romans 12 says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And at the beginning of that, Romans 12, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Did you know your mind is a part of your body? So we got to sacrifice our worldly thinking to be godly thinking. Say, no, that's a wrong thought. I sacrifice that. I kill that off. And I present my mind to Christ. Let's keep going. So faith is the, it creates a transition of heaven on earth. When Jesus prayed, what did he teach us? When you pray, say, our Father. Notice it's not my Father. It's our Father, because we are a community. God created a family. Yes, he is my Father, but he functions as our Father. Because when you have an our mentality, you have a heavenly mentality. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one. They're not fighting for their right. They complement each other in the oneness of who they are. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Why does it start that prayer model, our Father, and hallowed be your name? Because it knows the power of his name. His name represents his character. His name represents who he is. His name represents what he does. And so instead of coming and starting our prayers with my problems, if I come with my problems, I'm coming in a problematic situation. If I start my prayers and my praise, I enter his courts with thanksgiving. Now I'm starting to operate in faith because I'm seeing him. And as I see him, I become like him. As I encounter him, I've never seen anyone encounter God who says they can't do something. When you encounter God, you know you can do all things through Christ. And so I want to encourage you today. We got to come and get our mind to be the mind of Christ. Let's keep going. It says this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us when we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? You see, what happens to some Christians because they've been taught the lie, God the Father Christmas of life. In other words, God just does everything every time for every moment for every little situation. And He does respond, but He responds in how He wants to respond to make us stronger and deeper. So when becoming a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. In fact, the Bible says when you become a Christian in the last days, you'll get more persecution. So becoming a Christian doesn't make you trouble-free, but it makes you trouble-resistant. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ. Why does it need to say that? Because it knows you're going to have some trouble. It knows you're going to have some persecution. It knows. So you, when you understand, see, if I'm a shallow Christian, I give up on God because I got disappointed with something. But if I'm a deep Christian, I count it all joy. So we keep going. I see Christians, they scatter as soon as the persecution comes, as soon as the worldly opposition comes, as soon as the accusation, they scatter. The early church scattered, but they didn't scatter away from what God was doing. They scattered to take the message bigger. Wow. You're very quiet. It says, so we're going to be challenged. We're going to have challenging times, but we're going to also, the Bible says, and the scriptures, for this sake, we have been killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. Really encouraging scripture. And that, but then it says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. For I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears of today, nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation. That means no human can. Unless you let them. We're able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in who? Christ. Jesus. I don't know about you. You've got to have the mindset of victory. See, you think about Joshua. Quick, take a seat. You think about Joshua. Joshua's there and he has this encounter with God, and God says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. See, Joshua could have let the wilderness get in his thinking. For 40 years, the children of Israel were in the wilderness. But he didn't let the wilderness get into his thinking. He kept living in victory, even through the decisions of someone else, 10 spies and Moses. They end up in the wilderness. He kept thinking about the promised land. And I've learned this. If you keep living in the promises of God, one day the wilderness that you might be going through will bow to that promise that God has said. It might take a week. It might take a day. It might take an hour. It might take a year. But if you and I keep having that victorious mindset, I'm promising you that God says no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. So be strong. Everyone say, be strong. Be strong. And of good courage. You know, when I come in worship, I'm like, in my personal life, or corporate is another level to my personal. Because it's when you bring your faith and I join my faith, one will put 1,000 a flight, two put 10,000 a flight. But I've got to do my personal so that when we come corporately, it's even more powerful. But when we come in here and we begin to worship, when you're in the room, or hey, 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 something in my spirit, I feel courage and strength rise up in me. See, that's why you should not forsake the gathering of God's people. And the Bible says, especially in the days where it gets tough. Because I meet you. And when I meet you, I get encouraged. You said, but you're the pastor, you should be encouraging me. I am right now. But you encourage me. I met a girl over here and she says, I watch you online and I came to conference and your session. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. And courage. And she was in an environment that she got courage put in her. You know, I saw Joy and Sam just there. And I remember Joy when she was here 4 years ago playing basketball. And I'm like, see, and I looked around and I saw her worshiping. And I go, how good is that? She went back to America because she's an American and got married to an Australian to get her back in the country. And good job. And I was watching her worship and that inspired me. Why? Because when you're in the room with believers, your strength and your courage is being built. And, you know, when you get at home, sometimes it gets attacked. That's why you need to have people around you that will build you up. Be strong, for your people shall divide an inheritance in the land which I swore their fathers to give them. God has an inheritance for you, a spiritual inheritance, a financial inheritance, a physical inheritance, a inheritance of peace, an inheritance of joy, an inheritance of love, an inheritance of power, an inheritance of breakthrough, an inheritance of victory, and an inheritance that no enemy can stop, no devil in hell can defeat, because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. If you believe that from the back to the front, give God a shout of victory. How? It's yours, baby. It's yours. That inheritance is yours. Ha. So Planet Shakers, only be very strong, be strong and very courageous, and observe to do everything according to what God tells you to do. Do not turn from it from the left or the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you see, sometimes we get intimidated because we think the world don't get everything. You know, the Bible was written for the church, by the way. So you think a secular world, antichrist thinking world will get everything that the Bible believes? That's why we got to see a revival happen. Because the Bible says this, it says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It sounds all foolishness to them and they can't understand it. People can't understand the supernatural power to heal because they're so locked into life and they're so locked into their situation. It sounds foolishness to them. They can't, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. But they say that they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who knows the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we, you and me, and if you don't know Jesus today, you can be in this group. That's why we sing the winning team, because we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. When I get saved, I get born again. My spirit man changes, and now I got to change the way I think. See, too many people, including myself, live in the chatter of the world instead of the revelation of the kingdom. David, King David, goes out to battle. Well, he doesn't go out to battle. He actually goes out to feed his brothers. And he goes out to this situation where there's this giant in the land. Remember, God promised to the children of Israel that he was going to be with them in every battle. But the giant of the land stood there, Goliath, and he shouted and taunted across to the Israelites, "Why are you coming out to fight? I'm the Philistine champion. You're only the servants of Saul." Huh? You're only you know, people put down the church. "You're only a servant of the church. You're only a servant of this. You're a servant." No, we're not a servant of the church. We're a servant of Christ. And he is the bridegroom of the bride, the church. So he loves the church. Saul was the king of Israel, but he wasn't the king of kings. But he was there to serve the king of kings. But they tried to belittle them by saying, "The Goliath, you're a soldier of Saul. You're a servant of Saul." And he says, "Who will take me on?" And the Bible says, "I defy the armies of Israel today." That's the spirit of Antichrist. I defy what God wants to do on this earth. That's the spirit of Antichrist. I'll shut it down. And this is where people who have victorious mindsets or people who are conformed to the patterns of this world make a choice. It says, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. They were like freaking out because they watched social media too much. They had heard the chatter. "Ooh, did you hear? They went to Dr. Google. Did you hear? I saw it on Wikipedia. It must be right. Did you hear? And people let the world dictate the way you think. And so what it does, it weakens you and terrifies you and me at times. And we conform to their ways of the world and think the ways of the world because we're intimidated. Who sometimes gets intimidated? Come on, be honest. Yeah, me. I do. I'm pointing at you, and three are pointing at me. Jesse, son David, he's used to worshiping in the pastures. When you're in the room, the lion is dead, and so is the bear too. When you're in the room. What a great video that I'm playing guitar and I didn't even know I was in that. And can you imagine the sheep when they're doing that song, "I'm on the winning team"? Hey, the sheep going, "Ba, ba, ba." And David turns up. And the Bible says every day the children of Israel went out to battle and then Goliath would come and, "Oh." Why? Because they don't have a victorious mindset. David turns up. Watch what he says. He says, as soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. And they says, "Have you seen the giant?" the men ask. "He comes out each day to defy Israel." That's how what happens. If we don't watch what comes out of our mouth, we create a belief system that is not actually truth, because God's word is truth, ultimate truth. So we create a belief system on fact and innuendo and exaggeration. And we think about it in our minds. Remember, I'll get this at the end, but remember when the Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I talked about that. And then it says in Matthew that you present your, to worship the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. We'll talk about that in a second. And then David walks in, and he walks in because he's not in the chatter. And he walks in and says, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And what's the first thing that happens? David's brother goes to him. He says, he heard David, "What are you doing here around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you were supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." See, and he's attacking his thinking right there. Attacking it. All right, so he's going for his heart to attack his mind. And that's what the devil does. He tries to come and hurt us, and he tries to use people to hurt us, and tries to use people that love us or jealous about us, what we carry or whatever. And they hurt you, and the words get in, and then all of a sudden you meditate on it, and all of a sudden your victory, wow, I can feel the anointing right now. And victory is no longer in your thinking, it's survival. It's just getting through. David could have got offended. Could have said, oh, I'm going back to the sheep. They understand me. They never negative. They just go bah all the time. I know your pride. You know, when you get confident in God, you're not arrogant, but you have a confidence in Him. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, it will be done. Our confidence isn't in ourselves, our confidence is in the Lord. But if our confidence is in Him, we can stand. Wow. I'm preaching to me much as you, by the way. And David goes, well, what have I done now? I'm only asking a question. And he didn't stay in that moment of disappointment. I'm sure it would have. It was his brother. He walked over to some others and says, what's going on here? And received the same question. And then David question was reported to the king, and the king sent for him. And David turns up to the king. Listen, talk about a victorious mindset. He walks up to the king. Your Honor, Your Majesty, just want you to know, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll fight him. King Saul's like, you're 17, man. Don't you know about life? This is a king's response. Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. Again, tacking his thinking. He's been a man of war since his youth. See the exaggeration. David persisted. I love this because he's got a victorious mindset. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after them with a club and I rescue them from the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Sorry for all the animal liberationists. I've done this to both lions and bears. Both lions and bears, not a lion, lions and bears. So he's got a lifestyle of victory here. And I'll do it against his pagan Philistine. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord has rescued me from wherever my spot was. Oh, let's go. From the claws of the lion and the bear, and will rescue me from this Philistine. Next verse. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead. May the Lord be. But put my armor on. No, it doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. I'm good. I'm not coming in the strength of man. I'm not coming in the ways of man. I'm not coming in. I haven't heard the chatter of defeat. I've only lived in the environment of victory. I haven't got into the social media space and go, oh, didn't you hear? Ooh, it went viral. The only thing I want to be contagious with is the presence of God, not social media. And David walks out, and Goliath stood and taunted and shouted, why are you all coming here to fight me? Well, I said that already, so I'll go back to my other spot. Goliath walked out towards David and his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog? Right there, if he's killed a lion and a bear, dog's no problem. So he just belittled himself in his face and he doesn't even realize it. Am I a dog? He roared at David, that you come at me with a stick. And then he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. And David replied, he didn't get in a discussion and go, well, you know, he says, no, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you Not in David's name, not in Saul's name, not even Israel's name. I come in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. And today the Lord will conquer you and I'll kill you, cut your head off. You see, I've gone over time, but you are such a nice church, you're kind to me. You see, what David kept was a victorious mindset, because he didn't let the chatter take his imagination. You know what it says in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind." That word mind means imagination. It means understanding. So what you imagine is what you receive from. So every day, the children of Israel imagined a Goliath destroying them. That was in their view. That's why they ran away. David's imagination was built in the presence of God. It was built in worship. It was built in serving his father. It was built in protecting the sheep. It was built in keeping a pure heart. See, his heart didn't get polluted by the voices of war and defeat. His heart kept pure because he lived in the presence of God. That's why the Bible says we're in this world, but not of this world. You can't let the world get in your thinking. You got to get your stinking thinking out and meditate and imagine what God wants to do. Imagine that victory. Imagine that healing. Imagine that provision. Imagine, think about this. And when the chatter comes, say, "No, I take that thought captive." And I imagine restoration. I imagine healing. I imagine breakthrough. I imagine. And you know, the thing is, whether you get it here or get it in heaven, you're going to get it anyway. So just imagine. Just keep your mind set on him. Keep your thoughts set on him. Keep your... That's why the word is important, because the word in your mouth has power. And when you meditate on the word of God, it changes the way you think. You know, even this week, I was dealing with this situation, and the devil just comes in. He gets those fiery darts and tries to get in your thinking, and he tries to create the worst imagination. And I had to say, no. I'm going to imagine goodness, mercy, favor, blessing, healing, joy, because to enable Christ to work on my behalf before his Father, I have to come in faith, not fear. I have to come believing, not doubting. So when I'm doubting, oh God, help my unbelief. But now I'm going to fill my mind with, I'm more than a conqueror. And so think about more than God. Get as many sermons you can get on more than conquerors. See what people say, more than God, what does that mean? And get it, build it in your spirit. Have a winning mindset. See, Joshua had to have a winning mindset. He had to let the go. He had to not get into the mindset of the wilderness. He had to live in the mindset of inheritance. David didn't let the mindset of Goliath get into him. And he kept in the mindset of the presence of God. You have the mind of Christ. And so what the word and worship and agreement and binding and loosing does, it gets your mind in the right place. Victorious. You say, you go on about the same things all the time because they are so important. The word, worship, fellowship, discipleship, keeping my heart clean. When you're in the room.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media at Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.